Okay. Obviously, this Shabbos is the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And, but when we focus on Rosh Hashanah, the main perspective, that historical perspective, that Rosh Hashanah is associated with, at least in the minds of the people of our generation, is that Rosh Hashanah commemorates Hayom Haras Olam. It is identified with creation, with the creation of man, and but what's interesting is then when you take a look at the Kriya of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So the Kriya of the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Vashem Pakad Asara, Kashir Diber, that God remembered Sarah, and Sarah became pregnant at an advanced age. And ultimately, it has to do with the birth of Yitzchak. And with the birth of Yitzchak, the Torah emphasizes in regard to Sarah also the fact that Sarah, her contribution towards the continuation and the perpetuation of Klal Yisrael did not end with the birth of with the birth of Yitzchak, but the Torah describes how she was constantly looking, being aware, preparing for the future of Yitzchak, and thereby for the future of Klal Yisrael, concerned about the involvement of Yishmael in the upbringing of Yitzchak, the negative impact that it would have. So, and while all this is very important, but one would have thought that in terms of the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah is identified much more so with the creation of man, with the creation of the world, more so than the fact that Sarah became pregnant with Yitzchak. So the question is, why is it that we focus in the Kriya and the reading of Hashem Parkat Sarah, and we ignore, there is no almost in terms of the laning, there is no mention, not on the first day and not on the second day, no reading about creation of Bereishis Bara Elokim, about Yivra Elokim Esadam Betzalmo Betzalmo Elokim. One would have thought that at least in one of these 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, there would have been a kriya, a reading of the Torah that dealt with the creation, of man. Now, now we could suggest a very simple answer, and that is that we know that Asher bara Elokim la'asos, God created the world la'asos. In a sense, God created the world in an imperfect manner. Why did God create the world in an imperfect manner? Because God wanted man to become his partner in perfecting the world. Many give that as the reason for Bris Milah. In other words, Bris Mila represents and is symbolic of perfecting what God did. The story of Rabbi Akiva and Tarnas Rupas Harasha is very well known. That Tarnas Rupas Harasha confronted Rabbi Akiva and asked Rabbi Akiva, what is greater, Maase Elokim or Maase Bnei Adam? The creation of man, the deeds of man, or the deeds of God? And it was Tarnas Rupas was sure that Rabbi Akiva would answer that the deeds of God is more significant, more important, greater. And then he would question him about the mitzvah Bris Mila. If that which was created by God is more significant, how is it that Jewish tradition, that the Torah, makes the Jew required to change the form of the human body by having a mitzvah Bris Mila? And Rabbi Akiva told his wife, the Medrash says, to bake a cake. And it was apparently a cake that tasted very good. And he presented to Tarnas Rupas the cake and seeds of grain. And he asked Tarnas Rupas to taste the seeds of grain and to taste the cake. And of course, when Rabbi Akiva asked Tarnas Rupas what tasted better, the seeds of grain or the cake, Tarnas Rupas Harasha said that the cake tasted much better. So Rabbi Akiva said, now you have your answer. Ma'aseh bnei adam, the deeds of man are greater. But it's not the deeds of man that negate, chas v'shalom, what God created. But it's the deeds of man, where man becomes a partner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of the world. Today, we unfortunately are seeing a situation where people are advocating and even using social pressure to not only to negate creation. They talk about gender change. That's not an improvement. And they say for the psychological benefit, and it's proven time and time again that many of the cases, those who had these type of operations, these type of medical procedures, they first become suicidal after the changes were made. A child who's not allowed to drink, not allowed to vote. And is subject to social pressure from teachers. Makes a decision on his own without even being able to discuss it with his parents. Because he's told not to discuss it with his parents, and the schools are told not to mention it to the parents. Today we are not, unfortunately, the trend of science and the trend of medicine, which at one time represented a partnership in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in restoring life, in keeping life, has now become an art in negating creation, not working together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but working against him. And what is even more problematic is that, unfortunately, even among the Orthodox rabbis, there are those that are not ready to speak up about the problems that are taking place. Unfortunately, even day schools are not taking the position they should take because of the fear of losing government funding. Teachers are scared to talk. I know of a case where I was told where the teachers, the Talmudei Kodesh, couldn't say anything. And the secular teachers, on the contrary, were encouraging, acting in a manner that was a negation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a negation of the Torah. So, in a sense, the man was created to be a partner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in perpetuating creation. And Bris Milah, that's symbolic of that mitzvah. Matter of fact, it could be suggested that, and I've heard it suggested, that creation of God is identified with the number of seven. On the eighth day, man becomes a partner of God. And that's the idea of Bris Milah. Now, very often, when I mention this idea, which is did not originate with me, obviously, and it's been suggested by many, that Bris Milah represents the idea of man becoming a partner of God. That the number seven, so I'm always asked, okay, that's the symbol that is a message to the male community that they are partners of the Kaddish Baruch Hu. But the question is, where is the message in nature, in halacha and Torah, to women? And I always answer them that the idea that the women, in terms of perpetuating future generations, both in the following the perspective of Sarah Imenu, so that represents they didn't need a mitzvah like Bris Milah to emphasize their role of being partners of God. Man needed the mitzvah of Bris Milah to emphasize that role. Now, it's true, this is what I just mentioned, that seven represents God's act of creation, and then the eighth day, man becomes the man becomes on the eighth day, man becomes involved in creation. Man has to toil the land. He has to work on the land. But the Maharal, it's well known, and the Ramban seems to have the same opinion, that seven represents creation. Eight represents rising above creation. What does it mean to rise above creation? And I think, and specifically, what is the mandate of man in rising above creation? What is the message of man in rising above creation? Now, my uncle, in discussing, actually, he discusses Rosh Hashanah, but it's a theme that he has mentioned, that man can be seen from two perspectives. Man can be seen as a gavra, and man can be seen as a chepza, as an object. When we react, instead of taking control of ourselves, when we submit to our drives, so we are objects. Animals are objects. And certainly domain, earth, stone, those are objects also. But man was empowered with God, with a personality that allowed him to be more than an object, not just to react, but to be in control. B'kivshuha, to conquer the world. But before man conquers the world, man has to conquer himself. He has to be in control of himself. Sora Imenu, the Medrash Rabbah says that Rabbi Akiva saw that his students were misnamnim in the middle of the shir. They were falling asleep. And he said, what did Sora Imenu see? That she should rule over 120 Medinos. Elatovo Sora. Let Sora, who is what did Esther see? That she should rule. That she should rule over 127 Medinos. As the Torah tells us, in Parshas Chayesara, by you Chayesara, Mea Shana, Vashram Shana, Vesheva Shanim, Elatovo Sara. Let Sarah, let Esther, who ruled over 100, who is Basbita Shel Sarimenu, who ruled over 127 years, let her rule over 127 Medinos. In other words, there are people who are slaves of time, servants of time, people who are servants of time, and people who are servants of time. They don't rule over themselves. If somebody is a servant of time, he follows the flow of the day. What one day is an abomination, another day can be considered, unfortunately, a mitzvah. But when we rule over time, and we do not let time rule over us, then first were capable of being leaders. But before we become a leader of others, before we rule over Medinos, we have to rule over our own time and not let time rule over us. And in a sense, I want to suggest that that's the idea where man rises above creation, because the rest of creation are heftses, are objects. And man has to rise above creation. Seven represents creation. But after creation, man has to take control. B'kipshua, to conquer the world. But before man conquers the world, he has to conquer himself. The unfortunate thing today is leadership universally. Leaders are not in control of time, but time controls them. Because time controls them, they do not seek to lead. I'll use that term. They lead from behind, which means they're just the tail. So this the idea, man, the bris milah of the eighth day, that represents the idea that we have to separate ourselves, that mankind has to rise above the world. And the only way to be a partner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is for man to rise above the world. And woman understands that she is the partner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just in the giving birth process. Giving birth process is part of nature, but it's the idea, like Sora Imenu, that she was on constant guard. The birth process is the beginning of the raising of future generations. Today, there's this attempt to create a separation, to prevent parents from being involved in the bringing up of their children. So this is the idea of being a partner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the idea of being a partner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we understand that we have a role in bringing up the future generations. Now, so I think, and so that's why Hashem Pakad Asara, and Hashem Pakad Asara talks about, not just about the birth of Yitzchak, that Sarah was Nifkida on Rosh Hashanah, but it talks about the continuation of that process. It talks about Sarah taking care of Yitzchak, checking about the environment, about the nurturing process that we know plays such a big role in the future of the life of the child. And to a certain degree, that plays a role in the future generations as well. So, and it also talks about Avram being Mal Yitzchak. And to a certain extent, that continues on the second day, when it talks about Avram Yachdov, the idea of Avram and going with Yitzchak, but the Torah emphasized they go together, they become like one. But I want to just go suggest another answer, that actually is actually part of this answer as well. When we take a look at the first Rashi in Chumash Bereishis, so the first Rashi says, mentions Bereishis Bara Elokim as a Shemayim Basar. It's not the first Rashi, but it's on the first pasuk. Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of the beginning, God created the world with for the sake of Klal Yisrael, which is Reishis Tvoso. And God created Klal Yisrael, created the world, God created the Jewish people created the world for the sake of the Jewish people and for the sake of the Torah. What does that mean? That God created the world for the sake of the Jewish people and the sake of the Torah. But what it means is, I think it could be understood with a certain theme that the Beis Halevi emphasizes time and time again in his comments on the Torah. But let's say in regard to Pesach, the Torah tells us Bavur Zeh, when you're telling over to your children, you point to Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. So the Beis Halevi says, when you point to your children and you say that God took me out of Egypt because of this, because of the Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, you're not telling your children that God took me out of Egypt because of the Pesach, the Karban Pesach, the sacrifice of Pesach, the Matzah, and the Maror that the Jewish people had in Egypt. But it's because of the Pesach, Matzah, and Maror of right now. In other words, the idea that the Beis Halevi is suggesting that it's the future that causes the past. It's the future that causes the present. The Jewish people were redeemed in Egypt more because of the way the Jewish people will celebrate Pesach. Years later, it was the events of thousands of years later that were the cause of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And similarly, take a look at Megillas Esther. In Megillas Esther, a lot of the events that take place beforehand, Bits and Beseresh, all that took place before the decree of Haman. It took place before Esther had her party, before in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was preparing for the miracle of Purim before it actually happened. The miracle of Purim that happened later and the historical events that followed from that were the cause of the events that took place earlier. And we can say, to a large degree, we look at what happens in history. Good things, bad things. When sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows certain things to happen and we don't understand why. But at the end of days, we will have a better understanding. My father would always cite that sometimes when it comes, I think he said in the name of the Medrash, when it comes to seeing a picture, sometimes you have to move away to appreciate the picture that was made. We have to understand that it's the past, the future, that causes the present. And very often, unfortunately, there are parents that their attitude is one of the present. They're interested in the awards that their children are to get today. Instead of focusing on the future. When you want to evaluate an education, when you want to evaluate the upbringing of children, sometimes if you're an outside party, you have to wait. And to see the beginning of the results, not the immediate results. Sometimes the immediate results that what we call an instant gratification, if you want, the immediate results only, the immediate results only are the source of developing gaiva, arrogance in future generations. If the focus is getting awards, if that's what a parent is focused on. My mother was one of the outstanding teachers. She would say that she sees some educators that what they're interested in is how many awards their school will win. And what they do is the whole education is preparing for the tests that determine the awards. Instead of focusing on what the children are going to need years down the road, not only what they'll need, but what they'll be able to give over to their children. Yeah, they'll be able to give over the awards. And you can be sure that those awards will end up in the garbage for the most part. Yes, you have to encourage, but that can't be the goal. The goal has to be the future, not the present. It's unfortunate. Why is it that parents sometimes focus on the present rather than on the future? I would say two reasons, and one follows from the other. One is they see the children as tools for themselves, for their own satisfaction. The second reason is vanity. There are parents that their whole life is one of vanity. Haval habalim, hakol havel. It's all vanity. If one is a gavra, if one is a gavra, so, and the Rav Hai Gaon, it's very interesting. I mentioned the pasuk, Me'er Shana, Be'esrim Shana, Be'sheva Shanim. So Rashi mentions the Medrash that at the age of 20, she was like seven. She had traits of seven, innocence. In the age of 100, she was like 20. A sense of innocence, innocence to beauty, innocence in general. In other words, traits that are usually associated only with the younger years, she had in her older years, was brought down in the name of either of Haigon or of Sajigon. Not only that, but if the traits that are associated with 100, Sarah had a 20, and traits of maturity, whatever it might be, that is associated with 20, Sarah had at 7. Someone who's a master of time does not only let the present influence them now, because naturally there is a wedge in time between past, present, and future. There is a separation. And when one goes from one period of life into the other period of life, so there are positive qualities and negative qualities in each period of life. When someone is young, there's a sense of innocence and there's a sense of immaturity. But then when they go from the age, from the childhood into the young adulthood, so that sense of innocence disappears. But there is a positive quality of maturity and so on and so forth. But that's a person who is a slave of time, a servant of time. There's a separation between past, present, and future. Just as when we are slaves of time, the tendencies of people of the time, of the present time, influences us, not the tradition of the past, and not the goals of Klal Yisrael of the future. But even more than that, according to some of the Farshim, we have to let the future, traits that are usually associated with the future, somehow to enter our lives in an earlier period of time. And certainly in regard to history, that's true. We have to understand what the goals are. And the goals stretch far into the future, beyond our lifetime, throughout the history of the Jewish people. Now, so I think, in a sense, what was the future of Sarai mainly? It's very interesting. There's an interesting medrash. The medrash says that the Sutton, when the Sutton appeared to Sarai Imenu, so the Sutton made it sound like Avram. It was like Avram at the command of God slaughtered Yitzhak on the Akedah. And because of this, Parcha Nishmasa, she died. And everybody asked the question, Sarai Imenu, the mother of the Jewish people, she hears that Avram did the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very interesting. Submission to the command has a special, according to the Meshech Chachma, plays a big role in Rosh Hashanah this year. Meshech Chachma says, Shofar. Shofar is an aid. It helps Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, blow for me the shofar. And blow for me the shofar, and I will, and this will be a schus, a merit for you. And because of the fear that the use of shofar will lead to Chilul Shabbos, Klal Yisrael accepted upon himself, it is going to say, sacrifice themselves for the sake of Shabbos, Because of that, we don't blow the shofar on Shabbos. We listen to the Takanas Chachamim, which has a remez in the Torah, which allowed the Chachamim to make this Takana that when Rosh Hashanah falls out in Shabbos, you don't blow the shofar on Shabbos. Why? Because there was a fear that blowing the shofar on Shabbos would lead people to carry on Shabbos. So in other words, it represented to a certain degree the self-sacrifice to submit to what the Chachamim, what the Torah empowered the Chachamim to say. That's part of the idea of Rosh Hashanah, according to the Meshech Chachma. So the idea is, so the question is, Tzara Imenu, how is it that Tzara Imenu was Tzara Imenu died seemingly out of aggravation that Yitzchak was sacrificed at the command of God? I can understand another woman doing that, but Tzara Imenu, the matriarch of the Jewish people, the one that Chazal say was in certain areas greater than Avraham Avinu, how are we to understand it? I think the answer is very simple. What kept Tzara Imenu going at this age of 127 years? Because she knew she had the responsibility of perpetuating the future of the Jewish people. And perpetuation of the Jewish people meant preparing Yitzchak to be the successor to Avraham Avinu. But for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in her mind said that Yitzchak should no longer be here. So she had no more role to keep her going. Her role was the future. And when she thought the future was grabbed away from her, she had no purpose in living. So the Tzara Imenu's goal, more than Tzara Imenu's goal, we say Bishvil Yisrael, the world was created for the Jewish people. It meant for the generations of the Jewish people. It wasn't just for Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the first one. But the idea of generations, the idea of the future of the Jewish people, that took place with the birth of Yitzchak. So it is the birth of Yitzchak that is the cause, in a certain sense, of the creation of the world and the creation of man. And then it's also because of the Torah that the world was created. Chazal tell us, istakel the Zohar says, istakel b'taraso ubara lomo. God looked at the Torah and created it, the world. In other words, there is a relationship. There is a relationship between the world and the Torah. And it's not that the Torah was created to accommodate the world, as Reb Chaim said. But on the contrary, the world was created to accommodate the Torah. And to a certain degree, we say, Lo b'shamayim hi, mi'yal olonu ha'shamayim yikachel olonu, lo me'ibra yam hi. In other words, the Torah is not talking about one society It's not talking about one time period. All the arguments that are made that the Torah doesn't have reference to today, on the contrary, it's today that was the cause of the Torah. I should say, the Torah was the cause of today. The Torah was made. The world was created. Today was created to accommodate the Torah. But unfortunately, man sometimes wants to disassociate the Torah from the world and to say, Chas v'shalom, that the Torah is outdated. On the contrary, it's man who is going back to pre-civilization. Things that a few years ago would have been considered man returning to the animal kingdom, man becoming a chetza rather than a gavra. So it's the future. It's the future that caused the past. It's Bishvil Yisrael, Bishvil the Torah, because of the Jewish people. So Mela, because of the generations of the Jewish people. So Mela, we read. Therefore, we read about the Kedah. We read about Sarah and Avram as parents of Yitzchak and preparing Yitzchak to become the successor of Avram, the perpetuation of the generations, the continuation of the Jewish people, that the world was created. Now, and this is very significant, I think, with the idea of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, on one hand, is a day of tshuva. What is tshuva? Tshuva is we evaluate our past deeds. And we see what mistakes we made. It's the first of the Aseres you made tshuva. And in a sense, we're preparing ourselves for Yom HaKippurim, to say to Vidui, we're trying to return to our former position. So it would seem that the main focus of Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim and the whole Aseres Yemei Tshuva is on the past. And yet, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, that's the beginning of the year. Even Yom HaKippurim, the Rishonim bring down that in the Navi, Yom Kippur is sometimes referred to as Rosh Hashanah. My father would say, because the head, the brain, is what gives direction to the whole body. And it's Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim that, in a sense, give signals to the rest of the year. So it's very odd that on one hand we try to focus on the deeds that we, the mistakes that we made, the process of tshuva. On the other hand, Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year. I would have thought that, on the contrary, the end of the year should be Rosh Hashanah. Someone suggested that, told me that people are saying that the last Shabbos of the year, this past Shabbos, that's to make up for all the mistakes that a person might have made last Shabbos, the Shabbos before that, and the Shabbos before that. I said to him, it doesn't have to be Shabbos. It could be even on the next, on Thursday. It could be on Friday. You can always do tshuva for Shabbos. As soon as you realize the mistake you made, doesn't it? You don't have to wait for another Shabbos to do tshuva for Shabbos. But the question is, it seems the more appropriate time for the Aseret Shemei Tshuva, when we're trying to clear the record, would be to finish the year on the right foot, to erase the mistakes at that point. Why is it that the Aseret Shemei Tshuva is the beginning of the new year? And I think the Aseret Shemei Tshuva, on one hand, a Baal Tshuva has to say, Ani eini oseh ish. I am not that person. I am a different person. In other words, when a person sins, I've mentioned it before many times, a person doesn't, we say, V'dalef ne'mi'at ta'asid li'ten din v'cheshbon. You have to know before whom you're giving a din and a cheshbon. Din means to who you go, what you did, telling over what you did or what you deserve. And a cheshbon is an evaluation. Strange. It should say cheshbon v'din. First you make the evaluation, and then you realize what you deserve or what mistakes you made. But first you need to have the evaluation. I mentioned today in the American courts, if you're from another political party, the decision is made first, and then they seek a reason to accommodate what is going on and on the political scene. And from day to day, from one day to the other, it changes. And that's not only in one party. It's in both parties. It's in politics in general. But sometimes it's more in one party than in the other. Rabbi Yaakov Emden used to like to learn languages. He wanted to know, what is the definition of the word politica? And he read different papers that talked about politica. So on the basis of the context, he decided the word politica means echad b'leiv, echad b'peh. You know that it's false, but you do it anyway to accommodate your situation. You're reacting. God forbid somebody who has control of himself. Now, so on one hand, a person has to make himself into a new person. Why does he have to make himself into a new person? Because a person doesn't just come to sin. What is the cheshbon? How did you come to sin? You're not just responsible for the sin itself, but you're responsible for the situation that you put yourself in that led you to sin. And as a people, we have to do the same thing. What attitudes do we have that lead us astray? Who are we associating? And how are we associating with them? My father would always talk about the difference between friendship and fellowship. He says, friendship, we can be friends with many, many people. But when it comes to fellowship, we have to be very careful who we are fellows with. Because when we have fellowship, we become one with them. So the idea of tshuva is I'm not that person. I'm not that person. But that's not the end of tshuva. On the contrary, I have to be a new person. I'm another person. I have to become a partner of God in the creation of man. When I become a partner of God in the creation of man, I have to know that I'm not just becoming a partner of God in my own creation, but I'm becoming a partner of God in the creation of all those that are around me and for my future generations as well. So, because to emphasize that point, it's at the beginning of the year. It's identified with the creation of man, with the creation of the world. And it's interesting, if you take a look at the Svarim, at the Baal HaTanya and the Geras HaTshuva, I think, if my memory serves me correctly, he points out, yes, Charat al Avar, regret of the past, shame of the deeds that I did, is part of tshuva. But the main aspect of tshuva is Kabbalah Lahaba, acceptance for the future. He even suggests that Charat al Avar is the Rabbanan, if my memory serves me correctly. But that's somewhat difficult. But even if we say it's the Araisa, even if we say it's the Araisa, why is it the Araisa? Because if you don't regret the past, you won't come. Your Kabbalah Haba will be hindered. And the Kabbalah Haba, the acceptance for the future, has to be as perfect as possible. And if there's no regret of the past, there's something wrong with my acceptance for the future. It's a very weak acceptance. And we could say, so in a sense, the whole idea of tshuva is, the basic idea of tshuva, I should say, is not focused on the past. We have to focus on the past for the future. In a sense, we have to recreate ourselves. We have to become a partner of God in our own creation. And we recreate ourselves by changing our futures. And sometimes, by virtue of changing our futures heavenward, our past becomes changed as well. And this is what we have to know about the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. The Aseres Yemei Tshuva and the Rosh Hashanah specifically, that was created because of the future. And the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim says, why is there a mitzvah of tshuva? Because if there wouldn't be a mitzvah of tshuva, people will be chained to their past. And when they're chained to their past, they will not be able to change their ways of the future. So Rosh Hashanah is a time of looking at the future and to say, Ani Einu Osish, I'm not that same person. I'm a different person. I'm a new person. To a certain degree, it's a form like Geirus. We're like Gershinis Gayer Ketinok Shanolad. We re-accept the Torah just as the Ger accepts the Torah and the mitzvos. This is the idea of Rosh Hashanah. The idea of Rosh Hashanah is focusing on the future, and our focus on the past only has to do with the effect that it has on the future.
If anyone has any questions, please put them in the chat. Okay, there's a question here. There's an opinion that Sarah died because Avraham didn't kill Yitzchak.
There are some that like to darshan that, but because there's, but it doesn't work with the lashon and all the medrashim, medrash rabba, medrash tanchuma. In other words, it's clear that's not the simple reading of the medrash. And in one medrash, it's explicitly not that way. There's a difference between the expression in medrash tanchuma and medrash rabba. Achelo nishkata, something like that. But that's just the way, very often, when we talk about something bad happening, we talk in terms of it not happening. So that's the simple explanation.
Okay, so everyone have a good Ksiva Chasima Tova, and probably won't be shared for the next 4 weeks or so, but
well,
there might be a
talk.
Yahrzeit share during Sukkot, and just
Thanks,
watch
yes.
out for your email and for an email.
Yeah. Okay.